Evam vilapanti bala. Vipane nu gathapati. Patita padayor bhartu. That most obedient wife thus fell down at the feet of her dead husband and began to cry pitifully in that solitary forest. Thus the tears rolled down from her eyes. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Just as a devoted wife becomes afflicted at the passing away of her husband, when a spiritual master passes away, the disciple becomes similarly bereaved. In this beautiful narration from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading the illustrious purports of Srila Prabhupada, wherein he is explaining how the intense separation felt by the queen due to the death of her husband, master, the king, is to be understood to be similar to that of the disciple at the time of the disappearance of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Through his words, through his example, one has life, spiritual life. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, there is really no life at all. And Srila Prabhupada, through these wonderful explanations, is teaching us very carefully how to love the spiritual master, both in his presence as well as in his separation. Today's verse is very appropriate, because it is the occasion of the disappearance of Srila Ishwara Puri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his example, Lord Chaitanya taught us, in the role of a devotee, how we can perfectly perfect our Krishna consciousness in every aspect of our life. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little child, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. During his Grihastha ashram, when he was married to Lakshmi Devi and Vishnu Priya, he illustrated the perfect way in which a devotee in the Grihastha ashram should live. Especially in his wonderful relationship with Srimati Vishnu Priya, and how together the two of them were constantly absorbed in serving the Vaishnavas, in serving the order of the spiritual master. How the two of them were perfectly detached from anything but propagating the glories of the holy name. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching extensively, his good wife, Vishnu Priya, was always the most perfect support, encouragement and assistance to him in his divine mission to his guru. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he showed the perfect example of how every sannyasi should live in Krishna consciousness by very strictly following all the rules and regulations. And in this particular relationship with Srila Ishwara Puri, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is showing how to perfect one's life as a disciple. Ishwara Puri was born in the village of Kumarihata. And it is described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once came to that place and in great ecstasy of love for his spiritual master, he began to call out that I offer my respectful obeisances to the village of Kumarihatta, because this is the holy place where Ishwarapuri, my spiritual master, descended to this world to deliver all the fallen souls. During his stay in Kumarihatta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was continuously chanting the name of Ishwarapuri. And he collected some dust from that place and placed it in a bag and kept that always wrapped around his body. And Srila Prabhupada explains that every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would eat a portion of that dirt and begin to cry. And he would say about that dirt that this earth from the birthplace of my Guru Maharaj, it is my wealth, it is my life breath, it is very life itself to me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's relationship with Ishwarapuri must be understood in two most wonderful ways. On one level, which we may say is internal, the relationship between the Lord and Ishwarapuri was to exhibit to the world the expression of how the Lord becomes the servant of his own servant. Ishwarapuri was a pure devotee, and on the power of his love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became his humble, obedient servant, careful in every way to please him, because the Lord is Bhakta Vatsala. He is always conquered by the love of those who surrender their lives to his loving service. And on another level, Lord Chaitanya came in the role of a devotee to teach us how to be devotees. Therefore, he served Ishwarapuri to show everyone the proper method in which one should approach, hear from, and serve the bona fide spiritual master. Ishwarapuri was a disciple of Srila Madhavendrapuri. And he went on many pilgrimages with his spiritual master. In fact, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, he explains how when Madhavendrapuri first met Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the western provinces of India, at that time Ishwarapuri was present. And upon seeing the wonderful loving relationship between Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda Prabhu, Ishwarapuri and all the other disciples were simply plunged in an ocean of great happiness and bliss to see their Guru Maharaj having such wonderful loving relationship with another Vaishnava. He served his Guru Maharaj throughout his whole life. Madhavendra Puri had many great, powerful, exalted disciples, such as Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Sri Rangapuri, Brahmananda Bharati, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. The world was being filled with the exalted disciples of Madhavendra Puri. But of all of them, Ishwarapuri is considered to be very unique in his relationship with his Guru Maharaj. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains why. He served his Guru Maharaj throughout his life, and when Madhavendra Puri became very old, he was an invalid. He could no longer walk. He was physically in such a difficult situation. And Srila Prabhupada explains that sometimes the spiritual master performs such a leela just to invoke greater intimate loving service between him and his disciple. At that time, Srila Ishwarapuri was constantly serving his Guru Maharaj. 24 hours a day, he would clean the urine and stool from the body of Madhavendra Puri very lovingly and gently with his own hands. Considering this the greatest benediction. And he was always chanting the holy names of Krishna and always narrating the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna for the pleasure of his spiritual master. And Madhavendra Puri was so pleased by his disciples' most menial and humble service. Ishwara Puri was a great scholar. He was a very highly learned Brahmin in every respect. Yet he was very glad to perform the most menial service with all humility to his spiritual master. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri, so pleased with him, embraced him and gave him the benediction that may you be a great devotee and always be immersed in love for Krishna. And by that blessing, by favoring his spiritual master in this way, he became so empowered, so exalted, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself became his disciple. In the same narration, it describes the story of Ramchandra Puri, who was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and he was also present at the time when Madhavendra Puri was disappearing from this world. Madhavendra Puri was calling out in separation from Krishna, O Lord of Mathura, I have lost you. Where will I find you? What will I do? Ramchandra Puri was thinking he was so advanced that he could instruct his spiritual master. So he told Madhavendra Puri that why should you be lamenting like this if you are so advanced and pure? You should meditate on Brahman. And when Madhavendra Puri heard this, being a Vaishnava, the conception of meditating on Brahman, the formless, impersonal, inconceivable, absolute truth, who is not manifesting his eternal transcendental form, is worse than death. Kaivalya Narakayate, a devotee would rather be in hell serving the Lord than attaining the state of Brahman realization where there is no opportunity for service. So Madhavendra Puri said to Ramchandra that you get out. I do not want to see your face. Get out of here, you are condemned. I am calling out for Krishna at my last moment and you are telling me to forget his form and meditate on Brahman. In this way, Ramchandra Puri, because he offended his spiritual master, he lost all his good qualities. And what happens when one loses the grace of the spiritual master? He becomes filled with the inclination to find faults with others. He becomes very much attached to the pleasure of criticizing the Lord's devotees. And we can understand, one who is critical of the Vaishnavas has lost the mercy of his spiritual master. Ramchandra Puri, wherever he went, he would induce devotees to eat prasad more and more, then he would criticize them. To the point where he even criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in so many ways. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Madhavendra Puri performed this wonderful pastimes because he wanted to teach the world a lesson. What is the result of humbly serving and pleasing one's spiritual master? And what is the result of offending the spiritual master due to false pride? Ishwara Puri, it is explained, he was invested with the same very love as Madhavendra Puri. And this is disciplic succession. Evam parambara praptam. Through Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri's full grace was being revealed to the world. Some years later, Ishwara Puri came to Sri Navadvip Dham. We are also fortunate to be here in Sri Mayapur, to hear the wonderful glories of the Lord's pastimes here in Mayapur is very joyful and purifying to the heart. Ishwara Puri, when he came to Navadvip, he was dressed in very humble garments. Everyone just thought he was like a beggar. No one showed him any concern or respect because he just portrayed himself as being so ordinary. And by divine arrangement, he came to the house of Advaitacharya, which is just close by to where we are. And Advaitacharya was doing his devotional service. Ishwarapuri sat very close to him. And Advaitacharya began to look at him and stare at him again and again, thinking, who is this person? He appears to be a Vaishnava sannyasi. And Advaitacharya asked Ishwarapuri, who are you? What is your name? And Ishwarapuri replied, I am the lowest amongst sudras, and I have come here to see your lotus feet. When he said that, Mukunda, who was one of the most empowered kirtan singers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, he began to sing a wonderful kirtan describing Krishna's pastimes. And immediately Ishwarapuri began to cry in genuine, pure, ecstatic love. It appeared that the Ganges was flowing from his eyes, and he fell to the ground. And when Advaitacharya, Mukunda, and all the other devotees saw this, they could understand his exalted position. And Advaitacharya, begun the Sankirtan movement. One day, when Lord Chaitanya had just completed teaching his students, he was walking on the banks of the Ganges. And by his own divine arrangement, he met with Sri Ishwarapuri. It was their first meeting here in Navadvip Dham on the holy banks of the river Ganges. Lord Chaitanya and his students bowed down at the lotus feet of this great Vaishnava. And Ishwarapuri, upon seeing the beauty of this child, he was overwhelmed. He asked him, what is your name? And what do you teach? And what books do you carry? And some of the students said, this is Nimai Pandit. And Ishwarapuri said, oh, you are the great Nimai Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya, with great humility and devotion, invited Ishwarapuri to kindly come to his home for prasad. At Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home, Sachi Mata brought the food that was offered to Krishna, to her son, and Lord Chaitanya himself personally with his own hands served Ishwarapuri to his full satisfaction. And after pleasing him in every way, they asked him to discuss the wonderful teachings of Lord Krishna. And thus Ishwarapuri spent many hours describing the glories of the Lord. He spent several months here in Navadvip. He stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya. And his favorite pupil was Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was so humble, so gentle, and completely renounced from his very birth. Shri Panchatattva Ki. And every evening, Ishwarapuri, here in Navadvip, would narrate and give commentaries on a book that he was writing called Krishna Lila Amrita. And Gadadhar Pandit and others would hear and learn from him. Each evening, Lord Chaitanya himself would come to hear from Ishwarapuri and offer his respectful obeisances. Ishwarapuri asked him, that you are such a great scholar and pundit. Please edit my book, because it is filled with mistakes. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, how could I possibly edit the books of a great devotee? Anything a great pure devotee speaks in the glorification of Krishna is perfect. Even if there may be, by material standards, all sorts of mistakes, because that glorification is pleasing to Krishna, therefore it is perfect. And anyone who dares to find faults in what a devotee is speaking or writing is condemned and offensive. Ishwarapuri was very happy to hear Lord Chaitanya's appreciation of Vaishnavas. But he said, nevertheless, still my writings have many grammatical mistakes, so I request you to kindly correct them. One night, one evening, as he was speaking, Lord Chaitanya very gently explained that you have given an improper verb in your writings. It should not be Atmanipad. Ishwarapuri was silent. And after the class, Lord Chaitanya returned home. The next day when Lord Chaitanya came to hear from Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri said, my son, actually I have thought about what you said, and the word Atmanipad is correct. There's no reason to change it. You were wrong. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, yes, I was wrong. And he felt very happy to be defeated by his devotee. Here is Nimai Pandit, who completely annihilated in debate Keshava Kashmiri, the greatest pundit in all of the world. He was feared by all the scholars who opposed his strong arguments. He was known as the undefeatable Nimai Pandit, and yet so gracefully and happily he accepted defeat from his spiritual master. After some time, Ishwarapuri left Navadvip. He used to travel everywhere, constantly inducing everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Gaya on pilgrimage in order to offer pinda to his departed father. And along with some of his students, he began that most historical journey. It is explained that on the way to Gaya, right in the middle of the road, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down with a terrible fever. And his students were very worried about his very life. They began to give all different types of medications, but his fever was getting worse and worse. They did not know what to do. The Lord told them, I know what you should do. The medicine that will cure this fever is the water that washes the feet of a Brahmin, devotee of the Lord. So they went and brought water that washed the feet of a great devotee. And immediately upon drinking that water, the Lord's fever subsided. The Lord wanted to show the glories of the Vaishnavas and how he himself, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worships the Vaishnavas. And the mercy of the Vaishnavas is the only cure for the fever of material illusion in this world of birth and death. The Lord came to Gaya, and he went to the holy temple where the footprints of Lord Vishnu have been present since time immemorial. And he heard the Brahmins offering beautiful prayers to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The prayers they were offering, it is these lotus feet of the Lord which are always worshipped in the heart of Lord Shiva. It is these lotus feet of the Lord that are the life and soul of Lakshmi. These lotus feet were placed on the head of Bali Maharaj when he expressed his ultimate surrender. Everyone should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. For one who meditates on the lotus feet of the Lord, Yamaraj will never come near that person. From these lotus feet, the river Ganges have emanated to purify all the worlds. And the great sages and devotees, they will never renounce these lotus feet for anything else. Please, everyone, meditate on these lotus feet that are always comforted by the cushion of Anantashesha. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these prayers, for the first time he openly revealed his ecstasy of love of God in the mood of a devotee. Tears began to flood from his eyes, and all the symptoms of ecstasy were manifesting on his body. And at that very moment, Ishwara Puri appeared. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bowed at his lotus feet. Ishwara Puri lifted him and embraced him. They drenched each other with their tears of affection. And Lord Chaitanya began to speak to his spiritual master. That now my pilgrimage to Gaya has borne fruit because I have seen the lotus feet of Srila Ishwara Puri. When one comes to Gaya to offer pinda to one's ancestor, that particular ancestor will be delivered. But just by seeing you, millions and millions of ancestors will be released from the bondage of this material world. Therefore, there is no holy place that is equal to a great devotee. The great devotees come to the holy places to bring all auspiciousness to that place. Now please, save me from this world of birth and death. I surrender my body and my life to you. I ask one gift from you, my Guru Maharaj. Please, bestow upon me devotion to Krishna. Ishwara Puri responded by explaining that I can understand now that you are the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How else could it be? Your activities, your exalted learning. Ever since I was in Nadia, I cannot stop thinking of you. I am constantly thinking of you in great transcendental happiness. And whenever I think of you in my heart, I experience the same pleasure as when I see Krishna directly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded by explaining that now I am so fortunate. And then he asked permission from his Guru Maharaj to perform the Shraddha and Pinda for his father. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gaya went to all the various tirthas and performed those ceremonies. And then he came back to his home. And he rested and then began to cook. And just when he was finishing cooking, at that very moment, Ishwara Puri came to Lord Chaitanya's door, happily chanting the holy names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya immediately got up and welcomed him with great reverence and sat him down and told him that you have come just at the right time. Prasad is just complete. And Ishwara Puri said to the Lord, but you only cooked for yourself. How will you eat? Why don't you divide it in half? Lord Chaitanya said, no, I will cook again. This is all for you. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully gave his own food to his devotee, Ishwara Puri. And to show the proper manners of a disciple, he very humbly and carefully served Ishwara Puri with his own hands. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Naham Viprona Char Narapatiranapi Vaishona Shudra, Naham Varani Nachagri Hapatir Nobanasto Katirva, Kintu Prodyanakila Paramananda Punam Ratadbhir, Vopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Nudas. He is not aspiring for the identity of a Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra or a Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha or Sannyasi. There is only one identity and one aspiration for a devotee, and that is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna. And the Lord himself demonstrated through this wonderful pastime. He served Ishwara Puri with his own loving hands. His own food. But meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi appeared secretly to cook another meal for Lord Chaitanya. And after Ishwara Puri was completely satisfied, Lord Chaitanya anointed his limbs with scented oils, massaged his feet, and gave him beautiful garments, worshipping his own devotee. On another day, Lord Chaitanya approached Srila Ishwara Puri in a secluded place, and very sweetly he spoke, that please, I beg, that you give me initiation into the mantra. Ishwara Puri replied, you are asking me for spiritual initiation, but I should be surrendering my whole life to you. It was there in that holy place of Gaya that Srila Ishwara Puri gave diksha, spiritual initiation, to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through this pastime, Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish for all time to come that if one wants to make proper spiritual advancement, whoever one may be, one must take initiation in a proper sampradaya. And one must approach the spiritual master as Krishna explains in Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena hari prasnena seva. One must be humble. One must approach the spiritual master with submissiveness. And one must hear his words. The bona fide spiritual master is one who simply repeats the message of the parampara. And we must hear it with the consciousness that I do not know anything. Please instruct me. And one must be willing to serve those instructions with one's life and soul. Simply by hearing and repeating will be of little value unless we hear submissively and we are willing to humbly serve in any way what we have heard. When that environment takes place within our heart, then we are fit to actually realize the message of Krishna as it is coming through Guru Parampara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gaya began to chant the holy names of the Lord as he was initiated by Sri Ishwara Puri. After the initiation, he told Ishwara Puri, I surrender my body and life to you. And then he began to manifest the ecstasies of Sri Radharani's love for Krishna. He was in separation and he was crying out, where is Krishna? And once, toward the end of the night, without telling anyone, the Lord left everyone and started running to Mathura, crying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And at that time, a voice, divine voice, was heard. And it said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not the time for you now to go to Mathura. You have descended into this world to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement and to flood the whole world with the chanting of the holy names and give love to everyone indiscriminately. You should go back to Navadvip, your home, and begin the Harinam Sankirtan movement and give love of Krishna, the same love that Brahma and Shukadev and Shiva and Sanat Kumar are striving for. And at another time, you will go to Mathura. Lord Chaitanya happily heard that, returned to Gaya, and after taking leave from Ishwarapuri, he went to Navadvip. And it was here in Navadvip that he began the wonderful Sankirtan movement. During Lord Chaitanya's visit to Varanasi, he spoke something very wonderful about the relationship with his spiritual master, to Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati asked Lord Chaitanya that, "You are a sannyasi, you in Bharati Sampradaya of Shankaracharya. Why you are not with us studying Vedanta and meditating? Why you are with all these sentimental people chanting and dancing? This is no activity for a sannyasi. You are a disgrace to our Sampradaya. Tell me why." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that, "My spiritual master instructed me that you are a fool. You should not study Vedanta. You should simply chant the holy names of Krishna. Because Krishna has descended within his holy name. And the very essence and conclusion of all the scriptures is revealed by one who sincerely chants the holy names." And then he told Lord Chaitanya this very famous verse, which Lord Chaitanya explained should inspire one to keep the name of Krishna always within one's heart and within one's mind. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalona steva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiranyata. And following the orders of my spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya said, I began to constantly chant the holy names of Krishna. And as I was chanting, mysterious things started taking place. Tears started coming from my eyes. My limbs began to tremble. My hair started standing on end. I began to dance and sing. So I went to my spiritual master and I asked him, "What is happening to me? I'm becoming mad." And my spiritual master told me that, "Ah, this is very good. You have achieved love of Krishna. I am very happy to see this." Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to establish that in this age of Kali Yuga, everyone is a fool. And this Harinam Sankirtan movement is the only means of deliverance in this age of Kali. Lord Chaitanya also wanted to show his own natural humility. He accepted being called a fool by his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada would very happily tell us the story of his first meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at One Ultadanga Junction Road in Calcutta. When he first came and bowed down to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told him that, "You are an intelligent young man. You should take this message of Lord Chaitanya and you should spread it throughout the world in the English-speaking language." And Srila Prabhupada presented arguments that it is not the right time to do this. We are under the British powers. We must first get independence. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very strongly explained that there is no time to wait. Governments may change. Administrative regimes will change. Everything will change in this world. But there is only one duty, Sanatan Dharma, and that is to chant the holy names of the Lord and to surrender to Krishna. It is an emergency. There is no time to wait. The only problem in this world is a lack of Krishna consciousness, and the only solution is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada told us that, "I was very happy to be defeated by my spiritual master." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to be defeated by his spiritual master. And then he was told that, "My son, you always chant the holy names of the Lord and dance in the association of devotees performing Sankirtan and you take this prime benediction, Krishna Nam, and distribute it to the whole world. And it was not until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received that instruction from his spiritual master that he began the Harinam Sankirtan. When Prakashananda heard the wonderful narration of Lord Chaitanya, he understood what is the truth. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified his devotee by worshipping him as his own spiritual master. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, after he took his South Indian tour as a sannyasi, at that time, one devotee of the name Govinda came and bowed down before him. And he introduced himself. He said, "My name is Govinda, and I am the personal servant of Ishwara Puri. And just recently, Ishwara Puri disappeared from this world, and I was his personal servant. And just before he left, he gave me this instruction that I should come and be the servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I have come here to offer my services to you on the order of my spiritual master." At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, "Why did Ishwara Puri keep Govinda, who was a Shudra, as a servant and a disciple?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the power of the Lord as it is appearing through such an exalted devotee as Ishwara Puri is so great that there is no consideration of low birth or high birth. The power of a bona fide spiritual master can take anyone and transform them to the highest position, greater than a Brahmin, a pure Vaishnava. Krishna refused to take food from Duryodhana, who was from a high birth, but he very happily took food from Vidura, who was from a low birth. Therefore, when there is affection between a disciple and a spiritual master, that affection supersedes all material conventions and considerations. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very happy to hear this. And Lord Chaitanya embraced Govinda. And then Lord Chaitanya asked a question. And I beg you all today to carefully hear the question and the answer, because it is most important to us at all times and in all places. Lord Chaitanya asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Govinda is my godbrother. He is a servant of my spiritual master. Therefore, he is to be respected and to be worshipped by me. How could I accept service from my godbrother? And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that godbrothers call one another Prabhu, which means master. One should always consider oneself the servant of his godbrother. One should never consider the godbrother to be his own servant, ever. This is Vaishnava etiquette. Srila Prabhupada also explains how Vaishnava etiquette is so essential. It is the observance of Vaishnava etiquette that gives charm, flavor, and happiness within the association of devotees. And without the observance of Vaishnava etiquette, very carefully, we lose the very essence of why we're together as Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu most perfectly observed Vaishnava etiquette so carefully. He treated all the godbrothers of his spiritual master with the same respect he treated his spiritual master. That is the system. And he treated all of his godbrothers with great reverence and respect, wanting to be the servant of the servant of the spiritual master. So So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented this question to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied that the order of the spiritual master must be considered and obeyed. Your spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, has ordered Govinda to be your servant. It is your service to Govinda to help him to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, by giving him your service. Considered all his disciples to be representatives of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by teaching us and training us and chastising us and encouraging us, he was serving his disciples. Through his books, he's serving his grand disciples in all generations. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established this eternal truth, that everyone is the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And to the degree we capture this spirit, no desire for prestige, no desire for power over others or influence over others, absolutely kick out any conception that I need anything but the opportunity to serve. Because that is the only platform which will please Krishna and which will please Guru. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, where he's describing the relationship between Ishwarapuri and Lord Chaitanya, he explains that the spiritual master is simply pleased when he sees the devotee making spiritual advancement through humble service. The spiritual master is not happy when the disciple brings lots and lots of money. His real happiness is when he sees his disciple making spiritual progress. And that is only possible by pleasing Krishna. And that is only possible by being the servant of the servant of the servant in that spirit. Giving one's life to execute the order of the spiritual master in that way and help propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the perfect exemplary disciple of Ishwarapuri, he was the perfect guru. And similarly, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, manifested this most exalted quality. How he gave his life, he endured all inconvenience, any risk, to bring the Krishna consciousness movement to the world. No concern for prestige, no concern for anything. He was washing the plates of his disciples in New York City. He was washing their plates. He was like their mother, their father, just to give them Krishna Nam and Krishna consciousness. He endured everything and made the order of his guru his life and soul. And on this day of the disappearance day of Srila Ishwarapuri, let us kindly meditate on his lotus feet and on the principle that Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas have given us of how to perfect our lives by being the servant of the servant of the servant. I thank you very much.